Alexander III of Macedon, better known as Alexander the Great, was born in 356 BCE. He was the son of Philip II, king of Macedon from the Argia dynasty. His mother was Olympias, the daughter of Neoptolemus I, king of Epirus. According to legends, Philip II's royal family traced its lineage to the Heraclids, descendants of the most famous ancient Greek hero, the demigod Heracles. At the same time, Olympias' family from Epirus also claimed a legendary ancestor, tracing their origins to another ancient Greek demigod, Achilles, the hero of the Trojan War, and the greatest among all Greek warriors. Thus, from childhood, Alexander the Great believed himself to be a descendant of gods and mythical heroes of the past. This belief greatly influenced the formation of his personality. In the mid-4th century BCE, Macedonia, with its capital in the city of Pella, was a small Greek kingdom in the northeastern Balkans. While Alexander was growing up, receiving an education under the guidance of the famous philosopher Aristotle and taming the spirited horse Bucephalus, his father, Philip II, had already begun Macedonian conquests. He dissolved the Chalcidian League and defeated the Phocians and their allies in the Third Sacred War. Philip II also reformed the Macedonian army, making cavalry the main strike force of his military and creating the Macedonian phalanx. The key innovation of the Macedonian phalanx, compared to the classical Greek version, was the use of a long, thrusting spear, the 6-meter-long sarissa. Later, after Alexander the Great's conquests, the Macedonian phalanx would become widespread throughout the eastern Mediterranean, where it would remain the standard battle formation until it was ultimately defeated by the Roman legions during the Macedonian Wars. The 18-year-old Prince Alexander received his baptism by fire at the Battle of Chaeronea in central Greece, where his father, Philip II, faced an alliance of Greek city-states, led by Athens and Thebes. The united Greek army was commanded by the Athenian generals Lysicles and Cares, while the main driving force behind the anti-Macedonian coalition was another Athenian, statesman and renowned orator Demosthenes. Alexander commanded the Macedonian cavalry, and it was his forces that delivered the decisive blow, allowing Philip II to encircle and crush the enemy. After their defeat at the Battle of Chaeronea, the Athenians sentenced Lysicles to death, while Philip II became the hegemon of the Corinthian League, a federation of Greek city-states that the Macedonian king established under Macedonia's leadership for a future invasion of the vast Achaemenid Persian Empire. This league was the first instance in history where Greek city-states united under a single political entity. The only exception was Sparta, which later, during Alexander's reign, would also join the alliance. Shortly after this, Pausanias, a bodyguard of Philip II, assassinated the Macedonian ruler at the wedding of his daughter Cleopatra and Alexander I Molossus of Epirus. According to one version, the murder was driven by jealousy, as Pausanias was a former lover of the Macedonian king. Another theory suggests that Philip II's son Alexander and his wife Olympias were involved in the assassination, either by being aware of the plot or even orchestrating it themselves. Nevertheless, modern scholars tend to believe that none of these theories can be considered entirely reliable or definitive. In any case, Pausanias was killed while attempting to escape. During his lifetime, Philip II of Macedon married 7 times, so Alexander had 4 sisters and 2 brothers. Despite this, he was the only widely recognized heir to his father. His sisters could not claim power, and his elder half-brother, Eridaeus, was believed by many scholars to have psychological health issues. Moreover, Eridaeus' mother was of non-noble origin, which meant that he was not even a direct rival to Alexander during his lifetime. However, his other half-brother, the young Carinos, along with his sister Europa and their mother Eurydice, were killed under mysterious circumstances shortly after Philip II's death. Different accounts attribute these assassinations either to Alexander himself or to his mother Olympias. According to one version, Alexander ordered the death of only his potential rival, his younger brother Carinos, while Olympias took it upon herself to also eliminate Europa and Eurydice. Thus, at the age of 20, Alexander became the king of Macedonia and the hegemon of the Corinthian League. He decided not to change his father's plans for the invasion of the Persian Empire, but first had to deal with enemies on the Balkan Peninsula and secure the northern borders of his own kingdom. Alexander's Balkan campaign against a number of rebellious vassals of the Macedonian kingdom took place in 335 BCE. The death of Philip II led to a series of uprisings in several regions. The Getae and Thracians in Bulgaria, the Illyrians in Albania, and the city-state of Thebes in Greece. All of them attempted to start a rebellion against Macedonian rule and the young king. First, Alexander directed the Macedonian army to the Balkan Mountains. It was there, in the Battle of Mount Haemus, that the young king defeated the Thracians and won his first independent victory. Then the Macedonian army crossed the Danube and entered the lands of the Getae tribes, who, after the first skirmish with Alexander's cavalry, retreated deeper into their territory and left one of their cities to the Macedonian army. Meanwhile, the Illyrian chieftain Clitus and the ruler of the Tolentii, Glaucus, raised another anti-Macedonian revolt. Their lands were not under the direct control of the Argead dynasty, but were dependent on the Macedonian kingdom. The Illyrians captured the fortified city of Pelium, which was located near one of the main routes between Illyria and Macedonia. At the same time, the Illyrians did not manage to unite with their Tolentian allies before Alexander's army arrived. The first skirmish near the city led to the retreat of the Illyrians to Pelium. The Macedonians made an unsuccessful attempt to storm the city, after which they began preparing for a siege. But soon, the Tolentii, led by Glaucus, arrived. Alexander the Great's army found itself in a difficult position. They could not begin the siege, were surrounded by hostile armies on both sides, and were initially forced to maneuver. They then resorted to trickery and frightened the Tolentii with a bold attack on their positions, causing Glaucus' troops to retreat to Pelium. The Macedonian forces continued to carry out successful maneuvers and use military tricks, such as feigning a retreat. Eventually, they launched a surprise night attack on the united enemy forces, resulting in the complete defeat of the Illyrians and Tolentii. Clitus burned Pelium to prevent the Macedonian king from taking the city, and then, following Glaucus, fled to the lands of the Tolentii in modern-day Albania. While Alexander was fighting the Thracians and Illyrians, the Greek city-state of Thebes, which had previously clashed with Philip II, decided to proclaim its independence. False rumors about the death of the Macedonian king during the siege of Pelium, financial support from the Persian Empire, and the signing of the defensive alliance with Athens, all of this encouraged the Thebans to believe in their own strength and start a rebellion against the Macedonian kingdom. Many city-states in southern Greece supported Thebes. Alexander's forces quickly reached Boeotia, where Thebes was the largest city. Upon the young king's arrival in central Greece, Thebes' only significant ally remained the city-state of Athens, where Demosthenes, a fierce opponent of Philip II and his expansion, continued his consistent anti-Macedonian activities. The Athenians supplied Thebes with weapons, but they did not dare to fight Alexander themselves. The Spartans, known for their military achievements during the Greco-Persian and Peloponnesian Wars, whose city-state was not part of the Corinthian League at the time, sent their own troops to the Corinthian Isthmus, but even they avoided open confrontation with the Macedonian king. Alexander offered Thebes the option of surrender. They were to hand over the leaders of the uprising and release Philotas, the commander of the Macedonian garrison, who had been surrounded by Thebans in the Cadmea citadel since the Battle of Chaeronea. The Thebans refused. In response, the Macedonian king ordered the siege to begin. Soon, his forces breached the walls, and Philotas, with the garrison from Cadmea, broke out of the encirclement and attacked the Theban troops from behind. Alexander mercilessly punished Thebes for its uprising against the Macedonian kingdom. In addition to the 6,000 Thebans who died during the battle, another 30,000 inhabitants of the city were sold into slavery. Their city was burned, leaving only the temples, the Cadmea Citadel, and the house of the ancient Greek poet Pindar, who 1.5 centuries earlier had been the court poet of Alexander I of Macedon, the ancestor and namesake of the young king. Thebes was destroyed, and the Thebans became slaves. After such a decisive punishment, mainland Greece, including Athens, once again submitted to the Macedonian kingdom. Alexander was ready to carry out his late father's plans and begin the campaign against the Persian Empire. The king gathered an army composed of Macedonians, Greeks, Thracians, Illyrians, and mercenaries. The total number of troops amounted to approximately 48,000 soldiers, 6,000 cavalry, and 120 ships, with a crew of 38,000 people. In 334 BC, this army crossed the Dardanelles Strait, which the Greeks then called Hellespont. Soon, near the river Granicus, the first battle against the Persian army took place, under the joint command of Arsites, the satrap of Hellespontine Phrygia, Arsam, the satrap of Cilicia, and the Greek general in Persian service, Memnon of Rhodes. The Battle of Granicus still sparks intense debates. Three ancient Greek historians, Diodorus of Sicily, Plutarch, and Arrian, provide different accounts of the events. Modern scholars also have varying views on the number of troops, the course of the battle, and the casualties on both sides. According to the most widespread version, the Persian Empire's army had a numerical advantage, but suffered much greater losses. After Alexander the Great's victory, a significant portion of the Persian army retreated to Halicarnassus, and the satrap Arsites committed suicide. 2,000 Greek mercenaries who had fought on the side of the Persian Empire were enslaved and sent to Macedonia. The young king ordered that 300 sets of Persian armor be sent to Athens as an offering to the city's patron goddess Athena, the goddess of wisdom and war. He also commanded the sending of an inscription marking the absence of Spartans in the united Greek army. Alexander, son of Philip and all the Greeks except the Lacedaemonians, present this offering from the spoils taken from the barbarians who inhabit Asia. Next, Alexander's forces occupied the city of Sardis, the former capital of the Lydian kingdom and the center of the Persian satrapy called Sparta. After this, the siege of Miletus took place. The Macedonian king's fleet, consisting of 160 ships, organized a naval blockade and took control of the ports of the once influential Greek city, which had been a part of the Achaemenid Empire for half a century. The enormous Persian fleet, with 400 ships, failed to arrive in time to assist Miletus and could not impose a naval battle on the enemy. Alexander's land forces stormed the city. Due to the high financial costs of maintaining the fleet and the realization of the significant naval superiority of the Persians, the Macedonian king decided to disband his navy. At that point, Alexander was left with only transport ships and a small number of Athenian triremes at his disposal. At the end of that same year, the siege of Halicarnassus began. Memnon of Rhodes and Orontobates, the usurper of the satrapy of Caria, fortified themselves in the city. Their forces managed to repel the first assault on Halicarnassus, but on the second attempt, the Macedonian troops broke through into the city. During the retreat, Memnon of Rhodes ordered the city to be set on fire so that it would not fall into the conqueror's hands. After another defeat by Alexander the Great, Memnon of Rhodes launched a campaign against the Macedonian kingdom. He conducted negotiations with Sparta, which was still not part of the Corinthian League, and, taking advantage of the naval superiority of the Persian Empire, captured several Greek islands in the Aegean Sea, including most of Lesbos. Upon learning of Memnon's successes, the eloquent Demosthenes began urging Athens to revolt against Macedonian rule and spreading false rumors about Alexander's death in Asia Minor. Many scholars tend to believe that Memnon of Rhodes and his campaign could have become the greatest threat to Alexander the Great and forced the Macedonian king to prematurely return to the Balkan Peninsula. Though Memnon of Rhodes died during the siege of Mytilene, the main Greek city on the island of Lesbos. According to various historical accounts, the cause of his death could have been illness or poisoning. The Persians are sometimes cited as the perpetrators of the poisoning, allegedly punishing the Greek general for his excessive ambitions. His widow, Barcine, the daughter of the Persian general Artabazus II, who at the time was held at the Persian court as a guarantee of her husband's loyalty, later became the lover of Alexander the Great and bore him an illegitimate son, Heracles. Alexander the Great continued his conquest of Asia Minor. In 333 BCE, a legendary event took place. Alexander entered Gordium, the capital of the ancient state of Phrygia, which was then part of the Persian Empire. When the Macedonian king arrived in the city, an oracle proclaimed an ancient prophecy that whoever could untie the knot on the wagon in the palace of the former Phrygian kings would become the ruler of all Asia. According to the popular version, instead of trying to untie the complicated knot, Alexander simply sliced it in half with his sword. From then on, the phrase "cut the Gordian knot" became a metaphor for solving a problem through brute force. In the autumn of that year, in southern Anatolia, the first meeting between Alexander the Great and Darius III took place. This time, the Persian king personally commanded his own forces. In the Battle of Issus, the Macedonian army numbered around 40,000 soldiers, most of whom were Macedonians or from Greek city-states. Alexander primarily relied on the Macedonian phalanx, the heavy infantry, as well as the striking force of the cavalry. Ancient authors reported a massive numerical advantage for the Persian army, which was said to outnumber the Macedonian forces by more than 6 times. Some ancient historians even claimed a colossal superiority of 15 times. Modern researchers offer more modest estimates. Given the material and logistical constraints of the time, armies of over 100,000 were rare. Most historians believe the Persians had a numerical advantage of about 2-1, with the total number not exceeding 100,000. Among Darius III's forces, Greek mercenaries and the military elite of the Persian Empire, the heavy infantry known as the Immortals were especially notable. Alexander the Great positioned his cavalry on both flanks. He commanded the right personally, while he entrusted the left flank to Parmenion, his father's experienced general. On the right flank, Alexander also placed a small number of archers. The Macedonian phalanxes and additional troops were stationed in the center. Meanwhile, Darius III concentrated his cavalry on the right flank, and the King of Kings, as he was called, along with the Greek mercenaries, Royal Cavalry Guard, and the Immortals, positioned himself in the center. On either side of him were other Persian forces, mostly infantry and archers. The armies were divided by a river. In addition, Darius III had previously sent separate detachments of heavy infantry that crossed over to the Macedonian side of the river and positioned themselves alongside Alexander's cavalry. The Persian cavalry attacked Parmenion's left flank, which had to hold off the enemy's pressure throughout the battle. Meanwhile, the Macedonian phalanxes in the center launched an offensive, but on the other side of the river, they encountered fierce resistance from Darius III's Greek mercenaries. Alexander then sent detachments to block the heavy infantry of the Persians, which posed a threat to the Macedonian right flank, and led his cavalry in a decisive attack between the center and left flank of the Persians. After a successful advance, Alexander decided to press the advantage and attacked directly at Darius III and his guards. forcing the Persian King of Kings to flee the battlefield. All the same, Alexander could not pursue the enemy, as he had to assist Parmenion and save his left flank from being routed. Meanwhile, the Persian forces, seeing Darius III's retreat, began to fall back. According to modern estimates, the Persian losses were between 20 and 40,000, while the army of Alexander the Great lost between 5 and 7,000. Notable Persian satraps, including Arsames, who had fought against the Macedonian king at the Battle of Granicus, were killed. The Battle of Issus marked the end of the Achaemenid hegemony in Western Asia. It was the first defeat for the Persian army under the personal command of Darius III, who fled the battlefield, allowing Alexander the Great to capture his family, his mother, wife, and two daughters. These women had accompanied Darius III on the campaign, but now became honored captives of Alexander. Along the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, the army of the Macedonian king moved toward Egypt. All the same, in 332 BCE, they were forced to begin a seven-month siege of Tyre, the largest and most important city-state of Phoenicia. Alexander the Great wanted to capture Tyre because the city-state could serve as a harbor for the Persian fleet. The inhabitants of Tyre refused to surrender to the conqueror. They did not want to allow either Macedonians or Persians into the city, so they denied the young king permission to pray at the temple of Tyre's patron deity, the Phoenician god Melkart, whom Alexander identified with the legendary hero Heracles, one of his legendary ancestors. Eventually, negotiations led to the Tyrians killing Alexander's envoys. In ancient times, the city of Tyre was located on an island and had walls extending all the way to the sea, which made it nearly impregnable. After his victory in the Battle of Issus, Alexander the Great was able to rebuild and even expand his naval fleet. Phoenician city-states such as Byblos, Arwad, and Sidon had already been incorporated into his empire and provided their ships. In addition, Alexander received assistance from the king of Cyprus and Greek city-states of Ionia. According to the popular version, Alexander ordered a blockade of Tyre by sea and began constructing a causeway to connect the island to the mainland. The city's inhabitants fiercely resisted. Ultimately, after a long and arduous siege, Alexander's forces managed to break through Tyre's walls, and they quickly stormed the city, capturing it. After the fall of Tyre, Alexander the Great destroyed half of the city. Many of the adult men were killed, while the women and children were sold into slavery. Even so, the Macedonian conqueror spared the Tyrian king Osimilk and his family, as well as many of the noble citizens. Osimilk was allowed to remain as the ruler of the city, but from that point onward, Tyre became part of Alexander's empire. After the fall of Tyre, Alexander's forces turned their attention to Gaza, the last city before the desert separating Asia from Egypt. The defense of the city was led by the eunuch Battus, who had prepared Gaza for a long siege. He hoped to delay Alexander's forces long enough for Darius III to assemble a new large army capable of resisting the Macedonian conqueror. Despite this, Alexander's army, now experienced from the siege of Tyre, was able to capture Gaza in just 2 months, after several unsuccessful assaults. The city eventually fell, marking another victory for Alexander as he continued his march toward Egypt. After the defeat, Battus refused to submit to the new ruler and was executed. Punishment for resistance had already become a common practice for Alexander. Many of the city's inhabitants were killed or sold into slavery. However, Gaza was not destroyed. The Macedonian king continued to use the city as a military fortress. In Egypt, Alexander was welcomed as a liberator. To legitimize the power of the Macedonian king, he was crowned as Pharaoh of Egypt. In the Siwa Oasis, the local oracle called Alexander the son of the supreme ancient Egyptian god Amun-Ra. In 331 BCE, the Macedonian king and pharaoh of Egypt built Alexandria. This city would later become an important center of Hellenistic culture and would remain the capital of Egypt for centuries until the medieval Arab conquests. Alexander the Great conquered the rebellious nations and Greek city-states of the Balkans, seized Asia Minor, took the impregnable Tyre, became pharaoh of Egypt, and founded Alexandria. But ahead of the great conqueror lay the famous Battle of Gaugamela, the challenging Indian campaign, and the mysterious death that still sparks heated debates among historians.